Good Friday. Good Friday celebrates the end of what is old and the beginning of the new. Today, as we slow our feverish souls and meditate on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we are standing in that moment which is the end of the old covenant and the beginning of the new covenant. You can think of Good Friday as a graduation exercise for all that is journeyed through in the Old Testament and an inauguration of all that is to unfold in the New Testament. Today, we are recognizing the possibility for old things to be done and brand new things to open up for us. Good Friday is about this moment in history, but Good Friday is about our souls. It is about our hearts and our minds. What is going on in us? What is going on between us? What is going on as we anticipate the future? Today is a day to celebrate the end of old and the beginning of new in Jesus Christ. When you look at the cross of Jesus, when you reflect on the crucifixion moment, it necessarily draws you in. It demands response. Do you notice that the scripture reading this morning, which Hamish read for us so helpfully, is a story of many, many people and their interactions and responses as they were there on that day. Simon, it was just coming in from the country, heading home, and he gets drawn in, and suddenly he's a cross bearer. There are the soldiers who are looking after things, and they are variously affected and gambling one moment, and at the end of the story, some of them celebrating, this is the Son of God. There are the rebels, the thieves on the crosses, drawn in and engaged in the story. Everyone is invited into this story, and some accept and some reject, but you have to respond. I pray this morning that we would be a community of people who see what is here, who respond to it with open hearts, and who are deeply, profoundly blessed. Now, in the verses that were read today, the meaning of what we're looking at, the real punch comes in the last four verses, and I'm going to read them again. And I want you to hear them and reckon with these verses this morning. So this is Matthew 27, verse 50. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Amazing. Now, I read that bit because I know that's the bit that causes us to be just a little uncomfortable. A torn curtain from top to bottom, open graves, people appearing in the holy city, walking about, who'd been long dead. I know what you are thinking. In the world in which I live, that's not possible. In the world in which we live together, that is just not true. And this is because everywhere you and I interact with our 21st century society, we are asked to behave as if these things were not true. When you go to get educated, when you go to your workplace, when you go to buy your groceries, when you go to play your sport, when you interact with society at every level in the public space, you must understand that we behave, we talk, and we operate as if these things were not true. That's the contract of the culture in which we live. So this morning, I want to ask you to do something brave and phenomenal. I want to ask you to reverse that thinking. Instead of saying to yourself, in the world in which I live, these things could not be true, reverse it and ask yourself this: if these things be true, what kind of world do I live in? If these things be true, what kind of world do I actually live in? I'm asking you this morning to walk by faith, not by sight. To take a posture. This is Good Friday. You can afford to do this for a few moments. You can afford to take this posture here. And the deep conviction is this will affect everything else, everywhere else, for all time. I'm asking you to come as a child, setting aside the social contract in which we live day by day, where we get educated, where we work, how we interact with society. Just set it aside for a moment and do a very different thing. Come by faith, come as a child, and sit in the presence of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask, if these things be true, a torn curtain and open graves, what kind of world am I living in? Let's answer that question. The kind of world you're living in is a world full of amazing possibility and surprise. It is a world in which the new is awakened. It is a world in which God's power is present. It is a world in which possibilities for your life and for our society and for the whole of creation are available that you may never have really opted into. If these things be true, what kind of world am I living in? If the curtain in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, what kind of world am I living in? Well, we're living in a world in which God is no longer curtained off from the everyday experience. God is no longer curtained off from your life, from our interactions, from our world. This amazing moment in the narrative describes something that everybody reading the text would understand. This glorious temple in which people worship God in the Jewish tradition had an inner room called the Holy of Holies, and its entrance was a curtain. And this curtain, torn from top to bottom, you mustn't think a bedsheet, you know? It's not like a simple rip. This curtain is 18 meters high. That's 5.5 stories high. If you live in a one-story house, you need to take 5 of your houses, set them on top of one another, and that's the height of this curtain. If you live in a two-story house, you can do the math. If you live in a three-story house, you'll have to get your calculator out. This is a massive curtain. And the way this curtain was so carefully, prayerfully crafted, they took threads and plaited them together, 24 threads, to make a cord. And then they wove the cord to create the fabric. And they did this to a size of 18 meters high and 9 meters wide. This is not a bedsheet that you can grab and tear. This is a massive, heavy, dominant piece of fabric that says, you stay on that side, God stays on this side. And there are rituals. There are ways of coming to God and ways for God to come to us. And remember the holiness of God. Remember the otherness of God. Remember the sinfulness of your soul and of the likes of you and of your community. And know that without the right kind of sacrifice, without the recognition of your sin and the dealing with that sin and the washing of that sin, you cannot come to God. And God will not come to you. The temple was a place where they were constantly addressing the brokenness of humanity. And they understood, the ancients understood, our Aboriginal peoples in Australia understand so well the interlocking of everything. You and I are not actually isolated individuals, atoms on our own. We are interconnected, collaborative, bound together, woven together, peoples of God's creation. And so what you do affects me. What I do affects the planet. And what happens to the planet affects us. And it's all connected. And our lives are all bound together. And the symbol of our lives, blood, figures large in this ancient world. Because our sins don't just get washed, you know, just forgotten. They've got to be washed. They've got to be dealt with. And life connected with life. And all of this gargantuan picture. Then don't worry about the mechanics. Don't get lost in all the bits and pieces. Come to the theology class. Explore these things deeply. It is amazing, and it keeps opening up wonders. You live in a culture that says, in the world I live in, these things could not be true. I'm asking you this morning to reverse it. If these things be true, what kind of world do I live in? So here's what happened. As Jesus gave his life on the cross, as Jesus surrendered his breath, his blood, his flesh, God brought to an end all the business in the temple. Won't be necessary anymore. God answered the sin question at the center of creation and the center of my soul. God provided a solution that is glorious. And so this is what happened. At the very moment that Jesus was on the cross and gave up his life, surrendered his spirit to God, breathed his last, and shouted, "It is finished," over in the temple, the curtain was torn from top to bottom. The time of day, it's very likely that the priests were in the temple at work doing their daily activities. They were busy dealing with the redemption of Israel, the remission of sin, the absolution of things wrong. They were there at work. Could you imagine? What an overwhelming moment. As the curtain is torn, not from the bottom to the top, as if human hands had anything to do with it, but from the top to the bottom, to make it very clear that this is an action of God. And so while Jesus is saying on the cross, "It is finished," God is saying to the priests in the temple, "We're done here, men. We're finished. You can go home. We're closing shop. We won't be needing this anymore." Because the presence of God is not behind the curtain. The presence of God is wild in the world. This tearing of the curtain means two very practical things. It means you can go to God with confidence. Book of Hebrews spells this out beautifully. What a great book to read between today and Easter as you think about these things, the book of Hebrews. It tells us how the sacrifice of Jesus actually achieves glorious things. And it tells us that we can go to God with boldness because of the work of Jesus on the cross. You ever have that little niggle in yourself where you think, "Oh, I don't know if I can pray or talk to God or go into God's presence because, I mean, what am I?" Jesus' action on the cross speaks to that voice in your mind and says, "Be quiet," and says to your heart and to your spirit, "Come, come, come into my presence because I want to give you my love, show you my hope, walk with you in this journey of life. The tearing of the curtains means two things. It means you can go to God, and it means God is wildly loose in the world. That ancient idea of keeping God behind the curtain, with all kinds of superstition and truth mixed in together, aware of the holiness of God that we need to be protected from. Well, old things have passed away, new things have come. And in Jesus Christ, that which is most dangerous for us has actually been addressed in profound and wonderful ways. And you can expect to meet God where you never thought you would. Go looking for the kingdom. Seek God. Knock. Ask. He will answer. He will open. Seek him. You will find him. I know that you studied and you work and you buy your groceries and you play your sport and you interact in a society that tells you these things cannot be true. But this morning, I'm asking you to do the opposite. To let Spirit flood your heart. To let Holy Spirit come into your mind. If these things be true, what kind of world am I living in? A world where God is no longer curtained off, such that I can go to him and he can come to me. Such that the holiness of God is not an impediment for relationship with sinful, broken people. Explore these things. Get to know these truths. It is glorious. All you need to know for this morning is this. You're living in a world that is not curtained off from God. It is not curtained off from God. He sees you. He's coming for you. He wants you. He asks you to yield to him, to come to him with confidence. It's the end of things old, and it's the beginning of things new. What kind of world are we living in? Well, according to Matthew 27, we're living in a world with broken tombs and holy dead people walking in the holy city. Alan, in the world I live in, those things could not be true. You will receive that challenge everywhere in our society. Wasn't always so, by the way, in history. And that causes us to think, oh, gee, they were naive. Were they? Or are we missing something? Are we missing something? So reverse it this morning. And take the journey in your spirit. Let your life be animated by the truth and the wonder of God. Most places you go in culture will ask you to exit spiritual things and to drain your heart of spiritual truth. I invite you this morning to start on the opposite side. If these things be true, if the graves burst open, and after Jesus' resurrection, holy men and women of old were seen with resurrected bodies like the one that Jesus had, turning up in unexpected places and then on to glory for eternity as a taste of things to come. If there's any inkling, if these things be true, what kind of world am I living in? Let me tell you, I choose to behave, to think and to operate as if I am living in a world where these things are true, a world where God is here, and a world where death has been defeated. More on this on Easter Sunday. Lance will give us another angle on all of this, but for the moment, just think about this. If death is done, what does that mean? Well, it means something very specific for me. There's not a limit on my life the way my education and my interactions tell me it must be. No, there is the possibility of something far more I want to know. And it's not just a continuation of whatever bores you now. The life that God offers is life truly lived, truly filled. It's the best of what our hearts imagine and our inner selves desire. It has consequences for me, and has consequences for the whole of creation. It means that my life doesn't have a limit, and busted open tombs means that the world is not operating under the principle of death. And these two things are huge, and they can affect how you shop for your groceries. They can affect how you play your sport. They can affect how you go to work. They can affect how you live your life in family. They can affect what you think about when you lie on your pillow. They can affect how you deal with the worries of life. These truths can affect everything. It changes everything. So there's no limit on my life. I am not filling up a bucket list. I am packing a suitcase. I am not looking at my life thinking, oh my goodness, what have I got to squeeze in before it's all done? Which always seems a mystery to me. If it's just going to all finish, why squeeze anything in? No, I'm packing a suitcase, filling it up with things that can be eternal, filling it up with things that will last. That's a very exciting project. Are you packing a suitcase? Do you have an eternity suitcase in your heart and mind, and you're putting things in there? We're told very clearly in Scripture that when the judgment comes, some things will be burned up. All the stuff that's rubbish and that embarrasses you and that worries you, it'll be burned up. But you set your heart on the cross of Jesus Christ and link your love to his love for you, and there is an unfolding promise on the other side of your tomb. You should pack a suitcase. You really should. Fill it up with character. Fill it up with expectations of God's goodness and glory. Fill it up with the promises of the Lord. You can even send stuff ahead. Did you know that? You can send stuff ahead. You don't have to carry it all in your suitcase. And the generosity of spirit and the interaction with God's kingdom and the engagement with these promises is a glorious way to live. You can pack a suitcase, and those broken open tombs, do you know what they mean? They mean that the principle of death is no longer driving everything in this world. That what looks like it's dying, that will be temporary again and again and again. What looks like it's unsolvable, that will be resolved. What kind of world are we living in? What kind of world are you living in? What do you choose to see and to attend to think about in your mind? Because the truth is, the world you're living in is the world you are seeing in your mind and in your heart. It's not the world that everybody around you is telling you. That's not the world that you need to live in. And so if you're mind is open to the Spirit of God and your heart is awake. How do I get awake, Alan? Well, you meditate on the cross of Jesus Christ. Focus your heart on this moment of crucifixion and ask Jesus to come to you. Ask him to help you see that you and I, we live in a world where God is no longer curtained off. You and I, we live in a world where death no longer walls us in. And that is beautiful. With the curtain torn and tombs broken open, we are free. So let's just take the last moment and meditate on the cross of Christ. Surely, he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can I invite you to stand? So here's how I choose to live. God is here. Death is done. Praise Jesus. Let's live. Jesus said, I came to bring life to the full. I came so that my death could achieve your life to the full. I want to say your best life, but that's not good enough, that contemporary term. It's so much more than that. It is a life to the full, and this is what we are invited to. So, here's how to live in this week to come. What if these things were true? If these things be true, what kind of world am I actually living in? Take that with you everywhere you go and live into that glorious world. God is here, not behind the curtain. Death is done. Tombs are breaking open. Jesus has made it so. Let us live to the full. Loving God, may the truth of this Friday, which is so good, come home to our hearts and minds with deeper, fuller reality. Lord, may we see the truth that sets us free, and may we live into your truth, which is the glorious hope of all human beings, of the whole of creation, and of all that you so graciously wrapped your arms around when you stretched them out on the cross to redeem us, to set us free, to give us life to the full. Thank you, Jesus, for tearing the curtain from the top to the bottom. Thank you, Jesus, for bursting open tombs. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to us today so that the old ways can be displaced by the new hope in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Amen.